Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you on this Mother's Day. You know, last weekend I was at a conference. Our fellowship puts on a men's retreat up in Anchorage, Alaska, which happens to also be where my daughter and her husband, our daughter and her husband live. And my daughter was due on Thursday with her first child, so I stayed for much of the week. Unfortunately, she didn't arrive. My wife Ruth is up there with her this week, and that little girl that's inside of my daughter is a little stubborn, just like her mother and her maternal grandmother. Did I just say that out loud? We're so grateful to have you here today. You know, as I was thinking about what we would share this morning, we're wrapping up this four-week series on Living Hope. And what an appropriate title this morning, talking about generational hope. You know, as I was thinking through this message a couple weeks ago, I just started thinking about motherhood and how complicated it's become. It is such a complicated part of life. Let me see if I can explain. How many of you moms are here this morning and you are raising or have raised your biological children? Raise your hand, okay? All over the auditorium. How many moms are here this morning that are raising stepchildren or raised stepchildren? Raise your hands. Wow, a lot of you. Those are your heroes. It's hard enough to raise your own rugrats to raise, you know, someone else's. How many of you here this morning are moms of foster kids? You help with foster kids. Thank you. Wow, that's fantastic. How about adoptive moms? You adopt kids. Raise your hands. Way to go. Way to go. How many of you are moms of special need children, you know, where they got some mental or physical needs that they have? You are superheroes. How many of you are single moms here today? Wow, it's incredible what you do. Okay, let's give them all moms a hand. It's wonderful. So there's such a variety of motherhood, and many of you moms are what I'm going to call this morning combo moms, which means you're raising several types of kids. Maybe your biological kids and a stepchild, or a foster child and an adoptive child. So you're a combo mom. You're not just raising one type of child, you're raising several types and the complications that go with all of those. How many of you this morning moms are combo moms? You're doing more than one kind. Look around. Wow. Thank you so much. That's incredible. You know, my mother left our home when I was about 1 year old, and my older brother and sister and I went full time with my dad, and she decided to go live her life apart from our family. And praise the Lord that my father married my stepmother when I was 8 years old. She had a child already. Her first husband had died in Vietnam, so she married my father. She had her child and us three. And then they had one together, which is my little brother. And so our family was his, hers, and ours. And my older brother and my older sister were terrible children. My younger brother and my younger sister were terrible. Good thing she had me in the middle to balance everything out. But generational hope. How can a mom or a grandma, I mean, there are grandmothers here this morning that are effectively helping to raise their grandchildren. Not just talking about visiting them once in a while, but you're on the weekly schedule. How many grandmas this morning are on the weekly schedule of caring for their grandchildren? Praise the Lord for you. It's a complicated world, isn't it, this morning out there? And I want to give you some encouragement. We like to go through the Bible here, and so we like to use Bible verses to give us encouragement. So I'm in the book of 2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to talk just for a few moments about how moms, grandmas of whatever flavor, whatever style, how can we pass on generational hope? Because your children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren are going to need the hope of God as the generations progress if the Lord doesn't come back first. And in 2 Timothy, which is a letter that a guy named Paul wrote, who was a missionary in the first century, to a pastor named Timothy. Now, we got to understand just a brief backdrop. Timothy was a young man when Paul was going on his first missionary journey. Timothy was a child. And when Paul went on his first missionary tour to a lot of cities to tell people about Jesus, he came to a town called Lystra. And in Lystra is where Timothy and his family lived. And Paul came into town and told people about Jesus. There were a lot of Jews who were following God through the Old Testament way, which is a ritual, a faith that's basically external. Paul came along and said, hey, God's doing something new. He brought us Jesus so that our faith cannot just be external exercises, but it can be an internal direct connection with God through what Jesus did. And Timothy's mother and grandmother said, man, that is what we're looking for. And they moved from being a Jewish woman who followed Judaism to now being a Jewish woman who followed Christ. And something happened in them. And God radically changed their life. And then Timothy starts to grow up. And in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, Paul is now on his second missionary tour, and he goes back through the same cities of Lystra and Derbe. In Acts chapter 16, it tells us this time through, which was a couple years after the first time, he meets this young man named Timothy. And Timothy's pretty sharp. And Timothy, it tells us in Acts 16, was very engaged in the work that God was doing in his town. He was engaged in his church. He probably went to the youth group. He was helping in the services. He was probably in his mid-teens, maybe a 20-year-old, but he was very young. And when Paul saw young Timothy, he said, this is a guy that has so much potential and leadership qualities. I want to grab him and train him while he travels with me. So he got permission from mom and grandma to let Timothy travel with him. And he traveled with him for 20-something years. Paul now is coming to the end of his life, and he's writing one last letter before he's executed in Rome. And the person he chooses to write his last letter to is Timothy. And that's what you have in your Bible, 2 Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy to tell him, hey, I'm going to go, but you need to be a strong leader. Be that strong leader God wants you to be. But in the introduction to this letter, we get a little bit of insight into mom and grandma and the confidence they had. Because I want you moms and grandmas to be confident that what you're aiming to do in your child's life about passing down the hope to the next generation, you can do it. Because it's been done before and you can do it. And then Paul tells us three things that they passed down or that they were trying to pass down. And I want to just mention them this morning to give you an encouragement to say, hey, there's a lot of stuff in motherhood. I mean, there's everything from diapers to dishes to school to sports. But if you can just remember a couple of things to pass down to that next generation, it will give them an abundance of hope. All right, let's check it out. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8. And this is what he says in verse 5. For I am mindful of the, what? Sincere faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, what's her name? Lois, and your mother, what's her name? Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Notice what is in grandma and mom. There is a what? Sincere faith. A sincere faith. Well, what does that mean? A sincere faith, just by the definition of the word, means a faith that is not perfect, but it's genuine. It's an everyday kind of faith. In other words, my mom's relationship with God came out in everyday situations. God's relationship with grandma came out in everyday decisions. It's not perfect, but it's genuine, it's everyday, and it's what? It's non-imitation. One of the things that we learn about children and grandchildren is that they can see through something that's imitation. And I love the phrase, sincere faith, that was in grandma and it was in mom. And he says, Timothy, I see it in you. Now, that's a very interesting statement, because grandma and mom came to become followers of Jesus in a very strange situation. In Acts 14, as I mentioned, when Paul came through Lystra and Derbe for the first time, he was telling people about Jesus, and a lot of people were becoming followers of Christ. But then it says some Jews who didn't like Paul's teaching came into town, and they picked up rocks and they stoned him, thinking they stoned him to death, and they drug his body outside the city and they threw it into the ditch. And he wasn't dead. They thought he was dead. And so the whole city was in an uproar. And it was in this context that grandma comes to Jesus and that mom comes to Jesus. And now they're trying to pass this sincere faith down to Timothy. And apparently, they were successful because Paul says, I see it in you also. Well, what's interesting that it tells us is that Timothy had a heritage of true believers. Now, grandma and mom were what we call first-generation believers. It's hard to be a first-generation Christian. It's harder to grow up in a home where Jesus isn't part of it, or he was maybe part of it in some way, but not really. And now you want to be a follower of Jesus, so you're going to break the mold of your family, and you're going to step out and be that first-generation follower of Jesus. How many of those moms are in the room today? How many of you are first-generation followers of Jesus? You have broken down some barriers that people like me have not had to break down. Thank you for breaking them down in your families. And Timothy now is a second-generation Christian. I'm a second-generation Christian. My stepmom, broke the mold for our family and brought Jesus in reality to our home. And it was difficult for her and my father. And I'm so glad that I'm a second-generation Christian watching what they did. But the confidence is, guess what, moms? You can do it. They did it. You can do it as well. Have a sincere faith. We also know that what he's telling about there is that Timothy had to find his own faith path. See, you can have a sincere faith, and you can teach that faith and show that faith, but there's no guarantees that early on, or even during those teenage years, or even into early adulthood, that your child is going to choose the same path. But you can have confidence that what you are doing is making a difference. You know, I looked up some verses about what is a sincere faith. And there's a couple of very interesting verses about sincerity in faith. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. You know what a sincere faith is, Mom? It's just having a pure heart before God. It's having a good conscience before Him. James, I'll skip one. James, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. That word hypocrisy is the opposite of the word sincere. So we want to set aside, what is a sincere faith? It's somebody that's gentle in the Lord. It's somebody that's reasonable. It's somebody that's trying to do God's work. This is what it means, moms, that God has put this stuff inside of you in your relationship with Him. And now that child or that grandchild can be passed, those things can be passed down to him or to her. You know, somebody said a long time ago that faith is more caught than taught, isn't it? And sincere faith in Grandma Lois and sincere faith in Mom Eunice was passed down to Timothy because in them it was sincere. It was genuine. And Timothy caught that. So let me encourage you, moms, this morning. I know in your heart you want to pass down your faith to the next generation. You want to pass down that hope. And I want to encourage you today that you are the mechanism that God's going to use to be instrumental in the life of that child or that grandchild. Now, here's three things that Paul says. Number one, I think you should have confidence. But number two, let's look there in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What does that mean? Paul, when he took Timothy to be his mentor, to be his protege, when he took Timothy traveling with him, there was a moment where Paul said, okay, Timothy, you're no longer my protege. You are a leader. And all the pastors got together and they laid their hands on Timothy and said, you have the gift of leadership. God's anointing is on you. Now you're one of our peers. You're not our little disciple any longer. And Paul says, Timothy, you have forgotten how gifted you are. And you've let the gifting of God settle in your life. Let me encourage moms. One of the things you want to pour into the life of that child or that grandchild is that, listen, little one, you are gifted by God. You are gifted by God. And you may not see it right now, but I see it. And there's going to come a day when others recognize your gifting. They've got to know that they are gifted from God. That whole idea of kindle afresh the gift means you have significance and you have influence. One of the greatest things we can instill in those kids or those grandkids is that, listen, little one, you are significant. You are an influencer because God has gifted your life with purpose and with character qualities and with talents, and he's going to use you mightily in your life. This idea, we can pour into their lives until they grab a hold of it and realize it, that they are significant, that they are an influencer, and that God's going to use them mightily in their life. See, one of the problems with Timothy is that Timothy was a gentle spirit. Timothy wasn't that type A personality. Timothy, I don't know how else to say it, in our culture, we would call him a little bit of a mama's boy. And that's not derogatory. He was just a gentle soul. He was a leader. He had qualities. He had giftedness. But his personality was he was a bit tender. He was a bit sensitive. History tells us that when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, Timothy at that time was the pastor of a church in the city of Ephesus. And the church in the city of Ephesus was a pretty sophisticated church. And they were pretty heady in their knowledge. They were pretty strong theologians in that city. And apparently they were hammering Timothy, and it wore him down. And he began to become dejected. And he had a tendency to become despondent. When there was too much pressure, when there was too much pushback, when there was too much criticism, he would kind of be that turtle that goes into its shell. And he's supposed to be this leader, this pastor. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, there is a discussion about the church in Ephesus. And the description in Revelation 2 about the church in Ephesus was that it was great in its theology, but it was terrible in its love. They had a church filled with people that demanded truth, but didn't care about love. And that just wrecked Timothy's life. And so he began to be despondent. And so Paul has to use this word, kindle afresh, which means to revive the ashes into flame. So one of the things we can pass down to your children, moms, is you can pass down this idea. You're significant. You're going to be an influencer because God has gifted you. It may not always be easy to use those gifts, and there's going to be some discouraging times, but don't ever give up using the giftedness that God has put into your life. Man, it will just make your child raise in confidence, whether they're a tender-hearted child or whether they're that bull in the china shop. This morning you saw the Mallory family, Kyler Mallory with his son Brody. If Brody's anything like Kyler, he's a bull in a china shop. But whatever the personality God gives your kids, remind them that, man, you're so gifted. You're so significant. You're going to be an influencer. Don't ever give up on your gifts, no matter how hard it gets. That's a great way to pass on generational hope. That's verse 6. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline. This is a great verse. God has not given us something, but he has given us something else. So there's something that's been given to your child or to your grandchild when they have a connective relationship with God, that God fills their life with something, and there's something we know for sure he never fills their life with, because he never has given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but he's given us the spirit of power and love and discipline. Timothy was prone to feeling sorry for himself. This phrase, don't give in to timidity, means we need to cultivate God's power and God's love and God's discipline. This is what we can pass down to our children, moms. You can pass down, teach them how to cultivate God's power and love in their life. How do they walk with God and gain strength from that relationship with him? Because Timothy, he was prone to cowardice and weakness. Not only did he kind of retract into the turtle shell, fear began to grip his heart. And he began to be afraid of the people he was supposed to minister to and work with. He was tired of the pushback, and the pushback was so strong that it actually made him a fearful young man. And so Paul has to encourage him, Timothy, that fear, that timidity is not what God poured into your heart. God has poured into your heart power. That means strength. God has poured into your heart love, because strength without love becomes imbalanced. And so you can be a strong person without love and you become a dictator. And so Paul is telling Timothy, what God has poured into your heart is power and love. And the word discipline, that's an interesting word. It's not like discipline to do your chores. It's not like discipline to eat right. The word discipline here means sound reasoning. Remember, Timothy was a pastor, and he was trying to convince this church that theology is awesome, but theology without love is terrible. And he has to be able to articulate that and teach them. And he has the reasoning behind it. What's he saying? Paul is saying, Timothy, you are so gifted. And Timothy, you have so much power and you have so much love. And you know how to do what God's called you to do. That's a great message for our kids and grandkids to hear, Mom. So let's talk to that little one and say, you know what? You are so gifted. You are so significant. You're going to be an influencer. And yes, there are going to be people that sometimes don't agree, but don't worry. Don't become fearful, because God gives you the ability to walk in power and to walk in his love and to walk in his discipline or his sound reasoning. He says to him, God's power, love, and discipline come from the Holy Spirit. Learn, Timothy, how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. I put some verses down in your notes there. If we take this idea and trace it through some of the other books of the Bible, we figure out that the power he's talking about and the love that he's discussing and the sound mind or reasoning that he's sharing here all comes from walking with the person of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things we can do for our children, Mom, is to teach them how to walk with God. Because when they walk with God, they have his power and his love and his strength and his discipline. Now, they may not walk with him all the time. I didn't always walk with the Lord. Maybe you didn't always walk with the Lord, and your children may not, but teach them how. So when then God grabs a hold of their heart, they know how to do what we've been hoping that they would do. So number one, have a sincere faith. Number two, let them know that they're so valuable and significant because God has gifted them. Number three, encourage them to never live in fear, but to live in God's power and his love and his grace through the Holy Spirit. And then finally, verse 8 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or of me, his prisoner. What's he talking about? He's talking about don't be ashamed, even if sometimes it brings suffering. Let me ask you a question. In our culture today, is it easier to live your life for Jesus than it was 30 years ago, or is it harder today? It's harder today, isn't it? If you want to be an open follower of Jesus, it's harder today because there's less people agreeing with you and more people wanting to push back. And what Paul is saying is that, Timothy, there are going to be times when you want to live out your faith, and it's going to incur some difficulties and some suffering. In fact, we know historically that Timothy, at one point in his time in Ephesus, was thrown in prison. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23, the writer there tells the audience that Timothy has been released from prison. So in Timothy's experience, being a public follower of Jesus Christ was a difficult thing. But Paul encourages him, don't be ashamed of it. Don't ever be ashamed of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's a tough challenge, isn't it? Growing up, I haven't always been someone that's eager to share my faith with other people. In fact, witnessing to other people about my faith is one of the hardest things for me to do. I remember when I was in college and we had to take a class on evangelism, and we would go out on Thursday nights to visit people's homes and to share Jesus with them. And we'd go down to downtown San Diego during the home among the homeless people on Saturday night, and we would share Jesus with them. And if I knew that I was going to go out on Thursday and Saturday, when I woke up Monday morning, I had a pit in the bottom of my stomach knowing that that was coming. It's always been difficult. And sometimes in our life, it's hard to be an open follower of Jesus. But moms, you can encourage those little ones. Never be ashamed of Jesus. And then he also says, never be ashamed of me, the prisoner, because people were ashamed of Paul. Because a Christian is in prison, he must have done something wrong. And Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of other believers. Don't be ashamed and flinch. Timothy was prone to flinch when things got tough. And so moms need to come in and say, kids, listen, being an open follower of Jesus at times is going to be hard. People are going to say stuff. People might do stuff. You know, the Bible tells us between today and when Jesus comes back, it's going to get a lot harder to be an open follower of Jesus, isn't it? And we've got to teach the little ones, don't be ashamed. And don't be ashamed of other Christians. Even though they do weird and crazy things, don't be ashamed of them, because you're one of them. And they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't be ashamed. And he says, the power of God is on your side. Look at the end of verse 8, and we'll wrap it up with this. But join with me in the suffering of the gospel according to the what? The power of God. God's power is on your side. This is a great truth to teach your kids, mom, your grandkids. Listen, little one, following Jesus might be tough, but God's power is on your side. You're going to be the one that wins. So, generational hope. Moms, let me encourage you today. Make it sincere in your own life, because you pass down what you really have, and they catch it more than they're taught it. Number one, remind them they are so significant and influencers because they're so gifted from God. Remind them that they have the power of God and the love of God and the reasonableness of God, the sound reasoning that comes from God. Remind them how to walk with God, and then remind them, never be ashamed of who you are, and never be ashamed of who Jesus is, and never be ashamed to call yourself among Christians, because God is with you and his power is on your side. That's how you can pass down generational hope from one generation to another. Thank you, moms, for all that you do, all the different types of moms that are here today, the influence you have, and the great respect that you have within our community and within our faith culture. We look up to you. We honor you today in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, again, we thank you for these simple thoughts that Paul shared with Timothy. Thank you for Lois and Eunice and the sincerity of their faith. Not perfect, but genuine. And Lord, may every mom and grandma here today have that sincere and genuine faith. Not perfect, but non-imitation. And Lord, help every mom and grandma here today to be reminded, just to encourage those little ones, that they're so gifted, that you are gifting them. You are preparing them to be influencers. And so their life is so significant. Thank you, Lord, for using different personalities. Thank you for the insight into Timothy that he wasn't like Paul. Paul was this type A, strong, boisterous, confrontational personality, and Timothy was gentle and sensitive. And so, Lord, help us to be aware of how you made these little ones, but help them to be aware that they are so gifted, that they have your power, they have your love, they can gather wisdom to be influencers. And Lord, may we teach those little ones to have the strength to stand tall, that they would never be ashamed of Jesus. They would never be ashamed of being called a follower of Jesus. And they would never be ashamed to be listed among the brothers and sisters of Christ. Thank you for the impact that moms and grandmas in this room are making and are going to continue to make. May you bless them and guide them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Thanks so much for coming. Have a great day today.